All right, welcome. A live episode of Dropping the Glove. What?
You're too close.
Too close. Is that good? All right, I was expecting Chris Chelios. This is uncomfortable. I have notes for Chris Chelios. So, can you state your name, please?
My name is Doug Gilmore, and we played against each other, well, actually this year, in a charity event.
Were you one of the people who pay money? I don't remember you, honestly. You're not very...
I know.
How much did you pay to play?
You actually beat us.
Obviously.
Obviously. Hear that? How? Well, no. No, I'm not Phil Kessel here.
But no, Dougie, great to have you here. So you're a Hall of Famer, drafted by Calgary. And then when did you come to the Hawks?
I was drafted by St. Louis.
Oh, jeez. You can see how much homework I've done.
So I'll start it for him.
So you played for Detroit. You won two cups with Detroit.
No Detroit.
Oh, that's Chelios again. Dang it. Okay.
Won a cup in 89 with Calgary Flames. So, but, I broke in 1983. I was drafted in 82 as a seventh-round pick to the St. Louis Blues. So. And 5 years there, went to Calgary, and then Toronto, and then New Jersey. Then I signed as a free agent in Chicago.
No kidding. And then what was the best city you played for? Arguably, because I know Toronto's a hockey hotbed, arguably the best hockey city in the NHL. Arguably, Chicago's right up there. What are the differences between a team like the Devils or Toronto? What did you notice back in the day when you were playing?
Well, when I got traded out of Toronto, it took me about 2 weeks to get my car, and I finally came in, and we were playing in the old Meadowlands, and Dave Elton and I were living in a hotel in Secaucus, New Jersey, and finally my car came in, and I drove it down, went to the parking area, and the guy says, can I help you? And I said, yeah, Gilmore. And he goes, never heard of you, park over there. So I had to walk about a mile to get back to there.
That's fantastic. That's in Toronto.
No, that's Jersey.
That's in Jersey? Yeah. That would not happen in Toronto. Tell the story. One of the best stories I've ever heard, and you told it a couple weeks ago, when the big Toronto playoff cup mania was going on. It was a playoff. Oh. You were trying to get to the rink.
Actually, it was one of those, open practice day skills competition. And it was my first full year in Toronto, 92, 93. And I lived right beside the rink. And there's like, I don't know, 15,000 people surrounding the building. And I'm going, okay, how am I going to get in there? So I put a baseball hat on, my own jersey, sunglasses, stood in line with everybody. They had no idea it was me.
That's so funny. The perks of being 5 foot five at 120 pounds.
Yeah, we're all 5 foot five beside you.
That first year you put up, what, 120 some points?
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Is that exactly right?
127, yeah.
I did do a little bit of research. So what was it in Calgary? You won that cup. Take us through that, playing with all the unbelievable players on that team. What was it? Mike Vernon was the goalie.
Yeah, we had...
Lanny, obviously.
Yeah, Joe Nieuwendyk, Gary Roberts, Hawk and Lou, Joey Mullen, Colin Patterson and I, Joel Otto, Tim Hunter, Jim Poplinski.
Holy cow, you know the whole team?
Yuri Hardina, Mark Hunter, Brian McClellan. And obviously Lanny.
Incredible. McCrimmon. That's the difference between a goal scorer and a fighter, the memory, because I can't remember what I had for breakfast.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Vernon for me because I only said hi to him after a game. Our goalies, I never went back in our zone.
Dougie didn't backtrack too much. But so what was that like? Because obviously Canada, Stanley Cup playoffs, Calgary, that's the only cup they ever won, right?
Yeah.
How crazy was that? Because I know even in 2004 when they had their run, what year was that when they had the Red Mile with Robin Regier and all that?
Yeah, that was around.
It was around that era, but yeah, what was that like?
We won in Montreal, actually. We were the first team to win in Montreal, the Stanley Cup. And it was, at the end of the day, I was exhausted.
Yeah.
I never carried the cup around the ice. I did have it in the dress room afterwards. Do I regret it? Not really. I still won the cup. And I had my dad beside me, so I got great memories.
How early was that in your career?
That was my sixth year.
And then you played for how many years?
20.
So did you think it was like, I'm going to win a couple more of these?
100%.
Really?
And then- 100%. And it just, very unfortunate. You know, you think that it's going to happen. You get close, but no cigar.
Well, it's funny. You come to this convention. We're here at the Hawks convention. And it's like, these guys won 3 cups in how many years? 6, 7 years?
Yeah.
And it's amazing how spoiled you get, because every year they're like, are we going to win the cup this year? Are we going to win the cup again this year? It's been 5 years. Then you look at a guy like Dougie who won it once, and that was it. I never won it. I never even came close. I play with guys like Joe Thornton, Patty Marlowe.
Yeah.
Never even came close to winning. They've been in the league for 20 years. So it's crazy even to get a chance at it once. But, man, what a team you guys had.
Yeah, again, there's so many guys that you know, I played with, and unfortunately did not have that opportunity to win a cup. And, again, 20 years I played and won Stanley Cup final, and thank God we won.
Yeah, Doug, I want to ask you. I mean, obviously you're not the Sasquatch of a man that this guy is. So being a smaller guy, did it, you'd get overlooked a lot when you were younger and you kind of developed a chip on your shoulder trying to break into the league?
I think the media was really helped me out, because they always said I was too small and would never make it. So, you know what? When I had the opportunity, my final year junior, I put up some good numbers, and I went into St. Louis, and Jock Demers was the coach. And he said, can you check? And it's like, it's either 24 in the minors or 65 pro. So I said, yeah, I'll check. And after 40 games, I had a one-way contract, and it worked out great. So, you know what? It helped my career out, too. I became a better defensive player before.
I feel like all those French coaches, I had Jacques Lemaire, my first coach, and they just drill defensive hockey into you right away. And it's like, if you can't play D in the NHL, or you're not putting up 90, 100 points, your bus ticket back down to the A right away.
I had Jock when I got traded out of Toronto to New Jersey.
Yeah.
And probably one of the best technical coaches I've ever had in my life. Like, just really intelligent. And we would play, I don't know, 17, 18 minutes a game. I didn't break a sweat. It's like, it was Red Rover. They're coming at you. They're going to turn it over, and we're gone the other way.
Yeah, there was a position with Lemaire. I don't know if you guys know Jacques Lemaire, but before the game, he would tell you exactly where you need to be, and if you're not there, you should have been there. Like, he knew exactly where you had to be every second of every, like, period, and if you weren't there, it was your fault, and he knew it.
He invented the trap,
yeah,
pretty much.
He ruined the game, arguably. He's the reason why we have all these rules,
yes,
of the no red line and the no hooking, because of Jacques Lemaire.
Yeah.
But I loved him, because I was not fast. And he's like, listen, if someone comes near you, stick your stick right between your legs, and you twist, and you push.
Yeah.
And that's it, Johnny. That's it. That's all you do.
And how about the meetings, the power play, penalty killing, is all in the dressing room with the whole team. And at the end of it, then he had the faces, but he'd say the faces. So what it is somebody on the bench, you're doing something, whether you're picking your nose or whatever it might be, and he'd have it on the TV the next day. So everybody started laughing. Right after the serious meetings, everybody was howling. So he really calmed everybody down, and then, you know, obviously mentally prepared.
No, he was a good guy. I remember one time, we had different roles, me and Dougie, obviously. He played 17, 18 minutes. I played lucky to get 7 or 8. There was a game, we were in L.A., and it was a close game. 2-1, 1-0, very close game. I didn't play from the second period, third period. I undid my skates on the bench. I'm like, I'm done. Because I used to tie my skates real, real tight. And then all of a sudden, L.A. went bing, 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 scored like 4 goals in a row. And Jacques, I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I'm frantically trying to tie my skates, get the tape to put my pads on. Jacques looks over at me, just like shakes his head. He's like, Sacramento, like something like that. He's like, yo, colis. I'm like, I'm so sorry, Jacques.
Yeah.
He's like, you were going to go out, not anymore, buddy boy. I didn't play for like 5 games after that. I was like, oh, I was still, I think it was my second year. I felt so bad. I was like, oh, my gosh. Not a good first impression with a Hall of Fame. Much like you, a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to.
I don't know how that happens. Because you had an okay career. But what makes you a Hall of Famer? Let's see.
I don't know. I don't vote. So
it's that winning smile.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I just saw JR upstairs, too. And it goes,
Jeremy Roenick, for those of you who aren't good friends with JR.
So he said, you know what, there's 2 guys I regret what happened during a game, and it's you and Eric Daze, because he knocked both of our teeth out.
No.
Oh, yeah. With a stick.
With a stick.
Yeah.
Speaking of high sticks.
Oh, boy.
Should we talk about the time you high stuck me in a charity game? Or no, should we talk about the Wayne Gretzky high stick?
Yeah. I don't know.
Are you still sour over that?
I was never sour about it.
No.
I was disappointed.
Because I watched an interview with Carey Frazier, and they're like, what's your biggest regret? And Frazier's like, that missed high stick on Dougie.
Yeah, you know what? I have many conversations with him, and Carey was obviously a great referee, and back in his days, never wore a helmet.
Yeah.
After he did miss the call, a couple years later, I wanted to go back and just go on the ice and mess his hair up and get off and retire.
You can never mess his hair up. It's impossible. It's like a helmet.
I know it is a helmet.
It's like Patrick Sharp and Carey Frazier go to the same salon. So now what are you doing now, Dougie? You retired, what, 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, 16 years ago. And I've been 11 years in Kingston, Ontario. It's a junior A team, Kingston Frontenacs. And it's been a good run. I've coached for 3 years, GM for 6 years, sorry. And I'm the president now, so I don't do too much.
They don't let you make any decisions anymore?
Oh, I make all the decisions. I still make that. That's on my hands, but I don't really do that much.
That's so funny. Tim, anything for the Hall of Famer, Doug Gilmore?
Yeah, man, I got a couple. So, Doug, you wore the C for both Toronto and Chicago. I wanted to ask you, like, what that means to you, for especially two original six franchises, and then what's your approach to being the team captain is?
Well, I think as far as a story for you guys, when JT got nominated as captain.
Jonathan Taves.
I think they might know who that is here.
Well, I don't know.
So, Grant Skinner is his accountant, and he's my accountant as well. So they brought Jonathan in to golf with me up in Toronto, and it was really cool. I spent the whole day with him, and he goes, you know what? What should I do? Should I say something? When should I not say something? And I said, you know, kid, at your age, don't say anything. Just be the hardest working guy on the ice in practice and games. Everybody will follow you. Didn't take long for him to learn that.
And I will say this about JT. I've never had a captain kind of, because I was in another lineup all the time, and sometimes I didn't agree with the call. One time, gosh, we were playing the Blues, and they had a big physical team, and Q comes up to me during the pregame skate.
That'd be Joel Quenneville.
Joel Quenneville. So JQ comes up to me, and he goes, you're not in, Johnny, sorry. And I, like, got a little upset, lost it a little bit, went back in the locker room, tomahawked my stick over the bathroom stall, and the end of it went off and smashed the sauna door, because there was a big glass door in the sauna. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to pay for this. This is not good. And I've never had a captain come up to me like JT, Johnny did, pulls me aside. And mind you, this guy is, like, probably 5-6 years younger than me, my first year in Chicago, and he, like, sits me down and talks to me like he's my dad. He's like, it's okay, you know, we need you down the line. It's okay, you got to, you know, work through it. And just, I was blown away by just the maturity of this. He must have been, like, 22-year-old kid to pull me aside, this, like, 6'8 monster who's having a moment. And he was totally cool. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, I've never, it takes a special guy to be a captain, and you've obviously done it. You've earned respect from people, and I don't think I could do it. I really don't.
Well, you know what? Honestly, we're all human beings. We're all the same. You respect people, they respect you back. And the biggest thing with in the hockey world is just you treat everybody like family, and nobody's better than each other. If you win, everybody succeeds. And that way, sometimes your fourth line guys get an opportunity, maybe go somewhere else as a third line guy. So, again, I think the biggest thing is that with team chemistry is everybody has to buy into what they do.
Absolutely. That's 100%. That's why everybody wanted to play for Chicago, and they still do. When you have a leader like that, you know you're going to win. And, yeah, I left here, fourth liner, boom, third liner with Buffalo.
Yeah. No,
right away.
Exactly.
And that's how it works.
Guys who
win the cup here, they win the cup, and they go other places, and they're terrible. It's because, like, if you're on a good team, other teams want you, and then that's how it kind of is a copycat league. So if you're a fourth liner here, other teams want you. So
100%.
It's no-brainer. Well, Timmy, anything else for DG?
Yeah.
That'd be Doug Gilmore.
Oh, sorry, that's Doug Gilmore.
Doug, throwing it way, way back to your days in junior, there's a record probably never be broken. 55 straight games with a point, is that right, in the OHL?
I broke the record at 55. It was 57.
Okay, 57.
Yeah.
So question is, like, what were you eating for breakfast back then?
Well, you know what? I was my first year pro in St. Louis. I was 152 pounds. So junior, when they came in and weighed you, I knew they were coming in, so I ate pancakes that day, drank about 10 bottles of water, and I jumped on the scale with my jock on, and I had all kinds of change in my jock.
Just, no, you did not.
Just trying to get up to 138 pounds.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That's so funny. We're like opposites. It's like twins, because when I used to go to training camp and they would measure you and I would go, oh, I'm only, because they didn't have a high enough thing to measure me. So I would say, oh, I'm always shorter. I would say I'm 6'7", but I'm really 6'9", closer to 6'9". And then when I would jump on the scale, I would jump in the sauna before, go in the steamer, get rid of all the fluids in my body because I didn't want to be overweight, because I wanted to be 250. But in reality, I walked around 260, 265. So it's just funny.
That's, yeah.
Just the, just, we're like.
You're 100 pounds heavier than I was when I played.
I know.
Well, I thought Lindros was big at the time.
Lindros was big. Was it hard to be a little guy in a big man's game, especially when you played? Because it was the era of just like hooking and hacking and slashing. And like, if you mess with me, I'm going to knock your block off.
No, you weren't. You had to pretend you were crazy. You put your helmet on, and if somebody did something to you, you do it back. And, for strength-wise, for a forward, you always wanted to be in the offensive zone close to the glass. So that way, if I'm this far from the glass, I'm going that far, and I'm coming right back. Doesn't matter how strong you are. It's just the way it works. So then I got the puck back again. If I'm this far from the glass, I'm going to get hurt. So you just had to think all the time, and you watch guys on the ice who you're playing against. And, you know, preparation going into a game – you know, we all know what his was as far as who he's going to fight and different things. Mine was who I was going to play against. For example, Chicago. Chelly's going to try to take my head off. Steve Smith's going to take my head off. Marchman's going to take my knee out. And you just go down the list. And it's like, okay, this is what I got to get ready for our game. And I didn't care about the forwards who I was playing against. It was always defense.
No kidding. Would you ever, if you were coming down on a rush or would you always try to angle yourself or skate in the zone to a certain defenseman, to the weaker one?
Sometimes, yeah. Again, you never watch your pass, and I've done that many times, and I got hit a couple times.
Killed.
But I wouldn't really say – usually there's going to be a back checker on you, and when the guy's getting close to you, you go right at the defenseman. That, all of a sudden, now there's two guys and one guy, and you look for the open guy. So I tried to go at – sometimes that defenseman, I'm not going to beat him. I'm just waiting to make a play.
It's amazing to hear the thought process of a very good hockey player. Because I would never. I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, I have the puck still.
He's the dangling machine now.
Oh, in the old timer games, I dangle these. Well, because you're 70, 72, Doug. I just, it feels so good. I'm like Hall of Famer. Thank you. See you later.
Yeah. Oh well, I got skates on the wrong feet these days anyway, so it doesn't matter.
It's been a pleasure. Well, thank you for joining the podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Unbelievable, Chris Chelios. Everybody, we appreciate it being here. All right, Dougie. Thanks, buddy. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. Thanks.